Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I am so glad to be back with you. So glad to be back. I've driven roughly 800 miles in the last 30 hours or so. And so this is just-in-time radio. I got back just in time to, I guess it's not radio, at least not officially. Although, don't I have something on that? We'll get to that in just a second. I'm back from Las Vegas, where I was out at a trade show. What a dreadful town. And it seemed extra dreadful this time because I made a terrible rookie mistake when one goes to do a trade show. I had purchased a new suit with the assistance of my extremely attractive audio engineer. Helped me pick out a new suit, so I grabbed a shirt and some shoes that matched the suit, but I haven't worn them in a year or two. And I wasn't aware, or I had forgotten, that particular shirt, the girth of my neck keeps increasing, and the neck hole on that shirt isn't getting any bigger. So I was. What's that now?
You've been exercising.
Yes, because of all the exercise. That's right. It's all muscle. But the shirt put me in a state of near asphyxiation for approximately 10 hours.
Oh, God.
So I'm a trooper, so I gutted it out. I kept the tie tightly cinched around my neck. And another thing that I had forgotten was that particular pair of Italian leather loafers, after about 6 hours in a trade show booth, it left me feeling like there were needles shooting up through my heels into my ankles, up through my calves. It was torturous, but I survived. I survived, and I made it back just in time to bring the broadcast to you, and I'm glad that you're with me, by the way. Thank you for tuning in. I've got an email here. Is it an email? No, this is a Facebook posting. I'm not already dating myself referring to email. This is a Facebook posting from one Dave out there in podcast land commenting on the new Sammy Hagar bump that was dropped in by my extremely attractive audio engineer last week. If you didn't listen, go back and listen. That's right. The hammer falls down, Sammy Hagar. Dave was thankful that my audio engineer dropped that bump in. And I wrote him back saying, that's a pretty obscure song, Dave. I'm glad you recognized it. Well, Dave posted me back on Facebook. And Dave wrote, that bump may be obscure to many, but one of Hagar's best. And then he quotes the line, "You might walk around the corner sometime and karma hit you in the face like an 18-pound sledge." He says that line cracks me up. Sammy's a pretty catchy lyricist, kind of a cross between Nigel Tufnel and Warren Zevon. That about ripped me in half when I read that. He says, "Doug, keep up the good work. Why you're not nationally syndicated, I'll never know." I think it has something to do with the fact that we don't tolerate sponsors. That kind of limits our ability to be nationally syndicated. He says some other stuff, but I failed to do the proper research, and so I'll have to come back to that. Dave, thank you very much. Why I'm not nationally syndicated, I will never know. What was I listening to the other? I was listening to Fox or something on the radio. And I kept thinking to myself, how does this person have a show? How is it that this person has a show? And I can't even remember who that person was. That's how little of an impact their vacuous dialogue had on me as I was driving across southern Utah, frigid southern Utah, by the way. Dave, maybe you can put some tapes together and start sending them out because I'm just not motivated enough to do it. I have a fine time here. And I'd hate to disrupt that by turning this into a job. All right, do I want to go right to the politics file? Well, let's start. I watched Barry Ho get take the inaugural oath this morning. Did you get to catch that, my dear? You didn't catch that? Now, the big festivities are tomorrow when they're going to have the public inauguration. But Barry did the actual swearing in with Chief Justice and winner of the prestigious Benedict Arnold Award. What's his name? Chief Justice. Well, I forget his name. But he did win the prestigious Benedict Arnold Award this past year, awarded, I believe, for the first time by the American Spectator magazine. John Roberts was his name. You know, I think it's the near asphyxiation that's giving me, I'm having some problems recalling simple things. So bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Barry was there standing in front of John Roberts, winner of the Benedict Arnold Award, and he took the oath of office. And now you all know, if you've listened to the broadcast, that I was no supporter of Mitt Romney and that I almost predicted that he would lose, and I certainly didn't want Mitt Romney to win. But boy, it's like a kick in the stomach to actually see Barry taking that oath and to watch America's medicine being doled out in the form of Barry Ho raising his right hand, putting his left hand on the Koran, and swearing that oath. What did he say? All of his brothers in the desert are going to have a little feast? They did that in Algeria. All right, Barry, get out of here with that. Stop spiking the football. Yeah, get out of here. Anyway, so I was watching the inauguration. And apparently it was just a small gathering there in the blue room of the White House. It was just Barry and Roberts, and then there was some transgendered chick dressed up like some Motown star that I didn't quite recognize. And then there were two teenage girls who had that look, you know, like they'll never be punished with a baby. And, you know, the whole thing lasted just a couple of minutes, and it was frankly pretty depressing to watch. But I watched it for you, ladies and gentlemen, because I knew that you'd want to hear commentary on it. And so I suffered through it this morning. And then as I was preparing for the broadcast, I read a quick article about life on Mars. Yeah, you'll see the headline. It'll be quite the story this coming week, I do believe. Scientists apparently say that what looks like clay on Mars may have been affected by what may have been water. Hence, there is no God. The Big Bang is true, and it's okay for college professors to seduce their students. That's the bottom line of that whole range of investigative scientific endeavor there on the surface of Mars. Isn't there a Bible verse that relates to what these people are doing? So they say clay may have been affected by water. That means there may have been water at some time in the distant past, which means there may have been or currently may be some type of microbial life, possibly even a fungus or two, on Mars, which they're calling life. Yet they look at a 4D ultrasound just before an abortion, and they don't call that life, or they're not willing to call that life. But scrape some fungus off a rock on Mars, and suddenly God does not exist, and we can just pursue our hedonistic endeavors there at the finer universities. Anyway, the Bible verse. Yes, there is a warning, Will Robinson. There are Bible verses up ahead for those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity. We know here at the Weekly Worldview that you would like to censor anyone who would ever dare consider the possibility of maybe, perhaps, quoting a Bible verse in public. So, this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Jesus spoke in the book of Matthew in the 23rd chapter, and he was addressing the scribes and Pharisees. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel whole." That's what they're currently doing, or they will be doing, with the next Mars rover mission. They will be straining out gnats in order to feed camels to the ignorant masses. And it's just funny to watch. Funny not in a ha-ha way. Funny in a, wow, that's weird, and it could end civilization way. Yeah, that way. So life on Mars, okay. What else was the big news this past week? I didn't watch the news because I refused to pay the exorbitant rates at these fancy hotels in Las Vegas for internet access. So I accessed the internet only for a few hours to do work, send emails. And then, of course, the dive I stayed in last night out in Grand Junction. That place, it had the slowest internet connection in the history of man since maybe like 1991. I think it was, I can't even remember what it was, 38K dial-up connection for the whole hotel, I think. So I wasn't able to gather any news last night. the Mesa Inn in Grand Junction, by the way. It was only $25 plus tax. So slow internet and all. It was, and then the funny thing is my door had apparently been kicked in by someone else who had stayed there recently. So the whole door was shaped like a banana, and I couldn't close it. I had to literally stand back and step up and kick the door in order for it to close. But it was already late. It was like 11 o'clock. I didn't want to change rooms. I got the door closed, and I went to bed. The Mesa Inn. There's not a finer establishment in the city of Grand Junction. I don't want to get sued by them. I had a pleasant stay. Okay. I did spot this morning, I was able to look at a few of the 23 executive orders that Barry Ho issued this past week regarding gun control. And my internet connection was slow, so I only got to look at two or three of them. It was downloading them slowly. But as far as I can tell, every one of these executive orders, they're all just pure propaganda designed to elevate social tension. That's what Barry and the leftists are looking to do with the gun control issue. They're looking to divide Americans and create tension between those who own guns and appreciate the fact that the Second Amendment codifies our God-given right to keep and bear arms, and those who are flaming leftists, hypocrites, liars, baby killers, homo lovers. Why is it that the people who advocate homosexual marriage are the same people who want to blot out the Second Amendment? And the same people who want to find life on Mars and seduce their students at university. Why is it that they're all the same people? Well, it's fairly obvious. Now, I might get back to it later in the show. But anyways, don't fall for it. Don't fall for his elevation of social tension. We on the right, and I say that with a capital R, because not only are we right, we are correct, we are right. Those of us on the right, we need to keep working at elevating social tension over the issues that bother us the most, the issues that are an affront to God, like the shedding of innocent blood and the lack of a reliable and effective death penalty against those who commit capital crimes. And of course, the theft of our money through egregious taxes. And there's other. And we need to elevate social tension, but we're not looking to pick a fight. Well, I guess we are looking to pick a fight. We're looking to provoke a confrontation, an event that will set the nation back on some path towards sanity. Barry's going the other way. He wants chaos and insanity. And so far, his side is winning, just so you know. All right. Now, on to the politics file. Now, this could have been in the war file if it had any relationship to reality, but it's in the politics file. Because most politics these days is pure fantasy. Yes, complete delusional fantasy occupies our politics these days. And I read from McClatchy News in Washington, D.C., that the pictures of Osama bin Laden may never be released to the public. Never. Yeah, according to McClatchy, the 52 pictures that have been described as graphic and gruesome by top CIA officials. Well, there's been a Freedom of Information Act fight to try to get these images released to the public. But according to McClatchy and the CIA, the real-world pictures snapped by the elite commandos seem destined to remain secret. Yeah. Who is this person? There's a judge. There's a three-judge panel trying to decide whether or not to release these photos, alleged photos, of the alleged corpse of Osama bin Laden. And one of these judges says, well, they're telling us, the military and CIA are telling us it's a risk that Americans will die if we release these documents. Another judge, Judge Judith, she says, she says the concern, there's concern that these images could be used as propaganda. Propaganda. Gee, kind of like Barry and Uncle Joe mentioning the fact that they killed bin Laden every 5 minutes during the campaign. Maybe that doesn't qualify as propaganda that could be harmful to Americans. Maybe. Well, I guess they let us know in Benghazi and then now in the desert there at the gas plant in Algeria. I guess that with or without the pictures being released, Al-Qaeda and their minions seem hell-bent on the destruction of Western civilization. And Barry and Uncle Joe and this three-judge panel and just about everyone else in robes and in suits in Washington, D.C. are happily helping them along. According to this article from McClatchy, the explicit fears raised by two members of the three-judge panel indicate that the court will side with the Obama administration in keeping the bin Laden photos secret. Well, first of all, I think that if there were bin Laden photos, they would already be on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter somewhere. Somebody on the ship along the way, in the boat, in the plane, in the helicopter, in the compound, somebody would have snapped a picture with their smartphone of Osama bin Laden. You're telling me that nobody, there was that much operational discipline that nobody snapped a clandestine picture of Osama bin Laden? Anyway. But that's not the big issue because, you know, I have this feeling that this whole Osama bin Laden killing was staged to some degree and that there are lies and prevarications shot through the whole story. But I'm not conspiratorial. I think he's dead. Of course, I thought he was dead a long time ago. But that's a separate issue. The issue that annoys me the most about this story is that this three-judge panel and the CIA and apparently operators at the highest echelons of our military have chosen, instead of raining down hell and death and destruction upon our enemies, they've chosen instead to live in fear. Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Here at the Weekly Worldview, we choose not to live in fear, and we encourage those who are in leadership to rain down hell, death, and destruction upon the enemies of America and the living God, namely Al-Qaeda and their ilk. But apparently, the state of paralysis and fear has gripped our political leadership. From the Reuters wire, Barry Ho said on Saturday that the United States is seeking a fuller understanding from Algerian authorities of what took place during the massacre at the gas plant there out in the desert. So anytime you go with your hat in your hand to the Algerian authorities trying to figure out what's going on, you may want to double-check your strategy, Mr. Obama. It's just sad and depressing to think that we have to go to the Algerians to try to find out what happened. Well, what does Barry have to say? As usual, Barry opens up with fear and pity and sadness and weakness. He says, quote, "The thoughts and prayers of the American people are with the families of all those who were killed and injured in the terrorist attack in Algeria," unquote. Not, he never says that we will bring these terrorists. Well, let's read his whole. Oh, the blame for this tragedy rests with the terrorists who carried it out. We've been in constant contact with Algerian officials and stand ready to provide whatever assistance they need in the aftermath of this attack. We will also continue to work closely with all of our partners to combat the scourge of terrorism. So he's going to combat the scourge of terrorism. That's the closest he came to demanding retribution for the deaths of these Americans. Of course, after Benghazi, it's kind of hard for Barry to come out and demand that these killers be brought to justice. And so instead, he's offering his thoughts and prayers, which I'm sure everyone appreciates. You'll remember, folks, that the Algerian army carried out a dramatic final assault to end the siege by Islamists, in which 23 hostages were apparently killed, and a number of terrorists were also killed. By the way, I support the Algerians in their decision not to negotiate and to simply start shooting and killing. That's what you do with terrorists. When they say they have hostages, the first thing you do is start shooting at them and try to kill as many of them as you can. The fact that we left this, after we dismantled Libya and armed a bunch of maniacal terrorists and allowed all of Gaddafi's weapons to fall into the hands of these Islamic maniacs, we bear some responsibility for all that, you know. The fact that we left this gas plant naked and exposed to terrorists is fairly embarrassing and probably worthy of someone being impeached or thrown in jail. He says he wants a closer, a fuller understanding. He's going to remain in touch with the government of Algeria. Nope. Nowhere does he say that we will mount up and we will go, and to the ends of the earth, we will chase these demonic maniacs until they are all killed and destroyed. Which is, he should have said something like that, being the commander-in-chief and all. But apparently, this is the new normal. Forget 8% unemployment, right? Forget dropping property values. Forget higher taxes. The new normal is that the enemies of freedom and justice can butcher Americans and our allies. That will. And apparently there's no price to be paid. And, well, thank you very much, Mr. Obama. I thought about this as I watched him raise his right hand. I'm not sure if his left hand was on the Quran. I was just assuming. Someone claims, I heard later that his left hand was actually on a copy of Michelle Obama's family Bible. Which it would be a shock to discover that there was such a thing as Michelle Obama's family Bible. Although perhaps if you go back a generation or two in her family, you would find someone who was familiar with the Bible. But Michelle wasn't there, as far as I could tell. There was just that transgendered chick who was dressed up like, I don't know, like someone from the Shirelles or the Vandellas, Martha and the Vandellas, something like that. Anyway, whoever that person was, she didn't pull it off very convincingly. Anyway, all right. Now, let's move on into the culture file. Well, we've just talked about the outrageous behavior of the Democrat leadership in Barry and Uncle Joe and the Democrats who control the executive branch. Outrageous, indefensible behavior in allowing this to happen, number one, having no advance warning of it, being completely caught by surprise by the enemy, and then not offering to do everything they can to kill and destroy anyone involved and anyone who would plan to be involved in such an attack. It's just outrageous and indefensible. But now let's move to the Republicans back here in the United States of America. This is from CBS in St. Louis, Missouri. Dateline Jefferson City. A Republican lawmaker from rural Missouri is calling for a sales tax on violent video games in response to the deadly Connecticut shooting. Yeah, that's need I say more? I mean, how embarrassing can it be? How embarrassing can it get to be a Republican? This particular Republican is Representative Diane Franklin of Camdenton, Missouri. And she said last week that she would like to see a 1% sales tax on video games, violent video games, that would be used to finance mental health programs and law enforcement measures to curb mass shootings. So might I say to Representative Diane Franklin, Republican of Camdenton, Missouri, when you get to the point in your political career where your goal is to curb massacres, you should probably resign and look into another line of work. Yeah. You might want to look into perhaps, well, become a dealer out in Vegas. Or, I don't know, maybe work at a Foot Locker. Because the idea of government should not be to curb massacres. It should be to end massacres by striking fear into the heart of anyone who would think of doing such a thing. But she just wants to curb mass shooting. This is the problem I have with the Republicans. They see evil, they see wickedness, they acknowledge it for what it is, they know it's destroying the country, and they say, let's regulate it. Let's look for a 1% to 2% decline, and we can declare victory. Meanwhile, the murder and mayhem continues, and then the Republicans go and they raise a bunch of money on law and order Republicanism, and then they work as hard as they can to curb the death and destruction that's consuming the nation. This is why, while I am a registered Republican, I do not support the Republican Party. I do support the vast majority of the Republican platform, however. And most of the normal, sane people I know are Republicans. So, but I believe the Republican Party is dead. I believe it's been destroyed. Barry has been successful in sandbagging the Republicans into compromising on tax increases. So that right there is going to cost the Republicans 20 seats in the House, if not more. And now he's going to cajole them, and he's going to manipulate them because they're afraid of him. They're almost as afraid of Barry as Barry is of Al-Qaeda. The Republicans shiver. When Barry walks into the room, the Republicans go supine and limp, and they practically fall on the floor in front of him and beg him, just please don't hurt us anymore. So now he's going to get them to do the same thing, compromise on gun control. That will cost the Republicans another 30 seats in the House. And after the midterm elections, you can pretty much put a fork in the Republican Party because it'll be done. But let's get back to this ignorant, stupid shoe salesman. Oh, well, she should be selling shoes. She shouldn't even be selling shoes. She should only be authorized to measure people for shoes and maybe make suggestions about matching socks. That's about it. That's Representative Diane Franklin of Camdenton, Missouri. She wants a 1% sales tax on video games that she says are a component of the culture that's leading to these massacres. Franklin's proposal is the latest in a string of measures in response to the Sandy Hook shooting that we're all familiar with. All these measures, by the way. None of these measures call for an overhaul of the godless culture that's creating the monsters who prey on the innocent. No one wants to sit down and say, we need to have a national conversation about the fact that our educational system and our culture and Hollywood and evolution and just the general godlessness of everything is turning people into animals. None of the recent measures suggested in response to this horrific massacre even want to discuss the elephant in the room, which is the fact that when you allow a civilization to grow and develop without God, in fact, in defiance and in rebellion against God, that culture will end in a suicidal bloodbath. It's happened many, many times before. And nobody wants to talk about that, though. We want to tax video games. We want to limit the number of bullets you can put in your magazine. We want to eliminate scary-looking guns. I don't know what the Republicans want to do besides this brilliant 1% tax on violent video games. But why is it, do you think, that the politicians, our religious leaders, our cultural leaders, the people who can attract a crowd in our country, why is it that they don't want to address the idea that we need to talk about the culture and try to understand why it is that people suddenly think that killing innocent people is a solution to a problem or a means by which you can vent or express yourself? That's what needs to be addressed. But I think the problem is that about a third of women of childbearing age and their husbands, boyfriends, and families have participated in killing innocent people. So it's kind of hard to talk about a godless culture that encourages people to prey on the innocent when most of the people have done it. They've participated in the very thing that happened at Sandy Hook. They just didn't do it with a gun. They did it in conjunction with the abortionists or their OBGYN. So, and you know, state and federal funds, they directly contribute. They're directly used for the killing of innocent children, innocent people. So that's why the governing officials don't want to discuss it. They're complicit in it. It's kind of hard to bring up something when you're involved. Perhaps at this point, our society is just so drenched in the blood of the innocent as to be blinded to the obvious solutions. The solutions are simple and obvious. First, stop killing innocent people. Second, start executing people who are guilty of capital crime. End government education. Insist that parents be responsible for their own children and abandon the lie of evolution, teaching people the survival of the fittest and the struggle for life. In short, the answer is simple. Turn back to God.
God is merciful. God is good. Lord have mercy.
I wish you would.
All right, folks, we're rounding second. It's the Weekly Worldview. And, well, we've only halfway through the show, and we've hit on the entire theme of the whole show. It's all simple. Everybody asks why. It's because someone's in rebellion to God. You know, why did this happen? Why did this tragedy happen? Because someone is in rebellion against God. How do we solve it? Turn back to God. And if you think that's too simplistic, well, that's because you've probably confused yourself into thinking that there's a sophisticated and complex answer by way of which we can regulate murder in the heart of men. Murder in the hearts of men cannot be regulated. It must be eliminated. And the way to do that is to turn to the living God. Turn to your Creator and pick up the owner's manual that He issued and read it. And I know it sounds simplistic, but that's why I'm a fundamentalist, because my answers and my solutions are fundamental. And I didn't come up with them. I simply lift them from the owner's manual, the Holy Bible, the Scriptures. And I don't feel like I have to explain myself to you idiot people who think that the Bible is a fairy tale. I'm going to get to a woman. Let's do these first. We have reason 641 to get your kids out of the public schools as soon as possible. This is from the New York Daily News. A special needs teen, a girl, 15 years old, was allegedly sexually assaulted for 10 minutes under her desk by two teenage boys at an Elmont, New York government school. They go into what these boys did to her, but I can't even read it. I can't even read it. But they did a number of things to her while one of them danced on her desk, and all this occurred without attracting the attention of her teachers. Wow. This young girl, a mentally disabled girl, has an IQ of less than 60, and she was the only girl in a class of 13 boys. Her attackers all lived at a juvenile hall, a residence for juvenile delinquents, and they had known violent propensities, according to a lawsuit filed by this girl's mother. Now, the mother claims that she was powerless to get her 15-year-old mentally disabled girl transferred out of that school. She says she was powerless. She says because of her powerlessness, her daughter endured months of bullying. And now this has happened. To all you moms out there, and to anyone out there who's got a kid in school who is being bullied or is struggling with the Lord of the Flies lifestyle at the average government school in America, you are not powerless. This woman has swallowed the camel that tells her she's powerless to educate her own child or to take her child out of a violent situation. None of us are powerless as parents over our children unless we choose to believe the lie that we have to turn our kids over to the government institutions to be abused. This mother was not powerless. But she... Anyway, reason 641. To remove your children from the government schools as soon as possible. I actually scared the daylights out of a sales rep in my booth out in Vegas because he brought up something about either his kids or some kid he knew at school. I don't remember, but I had that flash of heat and blood in my face that I get when I'm about to say something that's bound to scare somebody. And I said, you know, Dave, I will never allow the government schools to get their hooks into my daughters. I will not allow my daughters to go to a government institution to be abused, violated, and deflowered. I'll never let it happen. And I said it like I wanted to punch somebody. And, his eyebrows went up, and the other sales rep next to me said, how do you really feel about it, Doug? But I was deadly serious. And we also discussed homosexuals a little later on, another sales rep. Oh, I think it might have been the same guy. He said that something, and the client was gay. And he said, you know, back then, you know, I had a thing about gay people. And I said, well, what do you mean back then? He said, well, that was 20 years ago. Now, you know, we've just got to tolerate. I said, oh, yeah. He says, we've just got to get over it. I said, yeah, get over it. We just got to get over it. I said, the Romans got over it really well, didn't they? Oh, so did the Greeks. They got over it. You know, what about the Nazis run by all those madmen homosexuals who almost destroyed the world? We all got over that real easy, didn't we? Anyway, everybody was a little pale. I don't know. I don't know how much longer I can work in the normal world. I'm bound to say something pretty soon that's going to end my career, and I'm going to have to find a way to get nationally syndicated. So I'm not going to be able to make a living anymore. I can't bite my tongue anymore when people say things. This guy was basically saying, look, I know homosexuality is disgusting. I know it's dangerous and that it can destroy people and the country and civilizations, but we just got to get over it. I don't know. It just, I can't take it anymore. It's hard for me to bite my tongue. Okay, but I do most of the time. Now let's go to reason 642 to keep or get your kids out of the public school. Maria Walther Willard is 61 years old, and she's been teaching Spanish and French at Marymount High School in Cincinnati since 1976. She does not have any children of her own. And she said that when she was transferred to the district's middle school back in 2009, she had been teaching in a high school. They transferred her to a middle school in 2009. The 7th and 8th grade students, she say, triggered in her a phobia causing her blood pressure to soar and forcing her to retire in the middle of the 2010 school year. So she got transferred to a middle school, and suddenly her phobia, she has a fear of children. And she says her phobia was triggered to such an extent that her blood pressure went through the roof and she had to retire. In her lawsuit against the district, she's suing, of course, she said that her fear of young children falls under the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act, and that the district violated it by transferring her and then refusing to allow her to return to the high school. Anyway, I don't know all the ins and outs of this case, but I think just about any normal person who was thrown into a room of 7th and 8th grade government school students would experience an increase in blood pressure and a certain level of fear. If you're just a normal person, probably be terrified, shocked and bewildered that a civilization like this could exist within the country that we all grew up in. If you were to look upon 7th and 8th graders for an entire school day, you'd probably be shocked and astounded and just want to go dig a hole and hide. I'm sure it's that terrifying. The lawsuit said that Ms. Walter Willard has been treated for her phobia since back in 91. She also suffers from general anxiety disorder, high blood pressure, gastrointestinal illness, anal bleeding, cotton mouth, sore feet, swollen ankles, liver dysfunction, dysphoria, hyperhidrosis, disillusionment, constipation. My sinuses are clogged. I got heartburn. I'm cranky and I have gas. This is Rosanna Rosanna Dana. Anyway, that's what that was starting to sound like to me. So she has a lot of problems. Her lawyers insist that the mental anguish suffered by this teacher is so serious and of a nature that no reasonable person could be expected to endure the same. So ladies and gentlemen, just apply that statement to your children. If you send them to a government school, the mental anguish they suffer will be serious and of a nature that no reasonable person should be expected to endure it. So just keep your kids out of the government school. Is there anything else? Oh, she's suing. Let's see. She says she lost $100,000 of potential income. She had to retire. And right now, as it stands right now, her retirement is only 89% of her annual salary. So she's having to suffer through on about $80,000 a year in her retirement.
She has no kids, right?
And she has no kids. She's making 80 grand a year. She's probably living in an old refrigerator box on top of a sewer grate in the city streets, 80 grand a year. How does anyone live in Cincinnati on 80,000 a year? Gosh. Patrick McGrath, a clinical psychologist and director for the Center for Anxiety and Obsessive Compulsive Disorder, said that he has treated patients who have all kinds of fears, including those involving children. And Mr. McGrath, the director of the Center for Anxiety and other stuff, says that anyone can be afraid of anything. I wonder if he gave his 800 number after that. By the way, call me. Do you have a fear of dogs, frogs, leaves, fish, mice, electronics, email? Anybody can be afraid of anything. So come on down to our clinic. Job security for Mr. McGrath there at the Center for Anxiety and Obsessive Compulsive Disorders. That guy's probably one of the few employers in the Midwest who's hiring at a breakneck pace. The Center for Anxiety and Obsessive Compulsive Disorders. All right. Now, let's see. I don't want to start this story about the... I've got a story here from the Train Up a Child file. The headline is, Why I Raise My Children Without God. I don't want to do that story yet because we're about to go to break. But I do want to comment on something I saw on CNN. I saw an advertisement this morning for a brand new show that's going to focus on parenting and family issues there on CNN. And it's called Raising America with Kyra Phillips. My dear, do you have any idea who Kyra Phillips is or where she might have come from? Is she perhaps another illegitimate child from the Wilson Phillips and the mamas and the papas and that whole thing? I mean, that was a disaster. Is there any chance that's where she came from? Never heard of Kyra Phillips. Have no idea who she is. or where she came from. But she's got a new show. Apparently, it's going to start airing on CNN next week. It's called Raising America with Kyra Phillips. And they should add an addendum to that title. Raising America with Kyra Phillips, but without God. I don't know if it's all that bad. Well, I suppose it is, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, if you're going to raise a generation without God, which we are effectively doing in the government schools and in the culture and the movies and the news and the universities, well, then you might as well throw in the towel because it's the end of the world. All right, now, from CNN, we've got a blog from an iReporter, and I think that means pretty much anybody who can string two sentences together and help fill up some copy for CNN. You can send them your iReport. And this woman sent in her iReport, and it's called Why I Raised My Children Without God. She says, when my son was around 3 years old, he used to ask me a lot of questions about heaven. So I stopped right there, and I felt a profound sense of sadness for this woman's children. Because at 3 years old, a child, a normal, healthy child, intuitively knows that there is a God. I believe that to be true. And I believe that there's some scripture in Romans that backs me up on that. I think we all are born with an awareness of our Creator, and that it is our culture that educates that out of us. But her 3-year-old, she says, used to ask me a lot of questions about heaven. You know, the questions that kids ask, says Mom. For over a year, I lied to him and made up stories that I didn't believe about heaven. Like most parents, I love my child so much that I didn't want to see him be scared. I wanted him to feel safe and loved and full of hope. But the trade-off was that I would have to make stuff up. And I would have to brainwash him into believing stories that didn't make sense, stories that I didn't believe either. One day he would know this, and he would not trust my judgment. She's a heathen, my dear. That's what's wrong with her. Not to put too fine a point on it. She says, and so I thought it was only right to be honest with my children. I am a non-believer, and for years I've been on the fringe in my community. As a blogger, though, I've found that there are many other parents out there like me. We are creating the next generation of kids. And there is a wave of young agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and humanists rising up through the ranks who will hopefully lower our nation's religious fever. Here are a few of the reasons why I am raising my children without God. Are you ready, folks? Here she goes. Number one, God is a bad parent and role model. Yeah, she says, if God is our father, then he is not a good parent. Good parents don't allow their children to inflict harm on others. Good people don't stand by and watch horrible acts committed against innocent men, women, and children. They don't condone violence and abuse. You say he's given us free will? Is that what you say? Our children have free will, but we still step in and guide them. So this woman, while denying that God exists, demands that he step in and fix things. Reveal yourself to me, she screams as she shakes her fist at God. Show me you're real. And I would just say, Mom, just be patient. He'll show you. Number two, she says God is not logical. If there is a good, all-knowing, all-powerful God who loves his children, does it make sense that he would allow murders and child abuse, wars and brutal beatings, torture, and the millions of heinous acts committed throughout the history of mankind? Doesn't this go against everything Christ taught us in the New Testament? Actually, no, it doesn't. It doesn't go against what God taught us throughout the entire Bible, that man is a fallen being who needs to be reconciled with his Creator, or what you get is murder, child abuse, wars, brutal beatings, torture, and millions of heinous acts. That's exactly what the Scripture teaches us. Besides, Mom, I thought the New Testament was all made up and that God isn't even real. Again, in her second bullet point, she's demanding that God step in and reveal himself and prove himself to her while she denies he exists. let's see. Number three. Oh, no. Wait a second. back to God is not logical. She says, the question we should be asking is this. Why did we allow this to happen? How can we fix this? No imaginary person is going to give us the answer or tell us why. Only we have the ability to be logical and problem solve. And we should not abdicate these responsibilities to God just because a topic is tough or uncomfortable to address. So I would ask, Mom, how is it that we are logical and have the ability to problem solve? How is it that molecules arrange themselves from some primordial muck and have achieved reason, rationality, and the ability to problem solve? You see, the heathen and the rebellious atheist, they rely on the very gifts that God built into their psyche and their spirit. They rely on those things to deny God. And she says God is not logical. I'm afraid that it's not logical that there is no God, Mom. The laws of physics and even astrophysics and metaphysics. Is it metaphysics? What was that author that Bob Enyard interviewed? He was quantum physics, quantum mechanics, all that. All the study of science proves one thing to us, Mom. There could have never been nothing, because if there ever was nothing, there only would be nothing. And there's not nothing, there's something, which means there always had to be something, which points to a spiritual, eternal creator God. And he always was. And it is logical. You're illogical, Mom. You're illogical to think that we can solve this. We cannot solve this. You are correct in we did this. That part you're right about, Mom. But we can solve this without the advice of our Creator, Mom. That's irrational. To think that human beings who evolved in the economy of the survival of the fittest in the struggle for life, to think that we could solve things like murder, child abuse, wars, and brutal beatings and torture, to assume that is illogical, Mom. Another thing that's illogical, Mom, is for you to say that there's anything wrong with murder, child abuse, wars, brutal beatings, torture, and all the heinous acts committed throughout history. How could you possibly have a problem with that, Mom? There is no God. Upon what could you base your moralistic decision that brutal beatings, torture, murder, and child abuse are problematic in any way? Are they not simply a part of the struggle for life, in the survival of the fittest, in the dominant races, defeating and destroying the weaker races? You are fairly illogical, Mom. Finally, Mom says, God is not fair. He's not fair. If God is fair, then why does he answer the silly prayers of some while allowing other serious prayers to go unanswered? I've known people who pray that they can find money to buy new furniture, and their prayers are answered. I have known people who pray to God to help them win a soccer match, and their prayers are answered. But why are the prayers of parents with dying children not answered? Okay, Mom, if God doesn't exist, how is he answering the prayers of the soccer mom if he doesn't exist? She says, if God is fair, then why are some babies born with heart defects, autism, missing limbs, or conjoined to another baby? Clearly, all men are not created equally. Why is a good man beaten senseless on the street while an evil man finds great wealth taking advantage of others? This is not fair. A game maker who allows such luck to rule mankind's existence
has not created a fair game. God is not fair. Madam, the scriptures teach us that life is not fair and that men are wicked and fallen. And that the only hope any of us have to attaining any type of fair dealing in life is when we deal with other people who are restrained by the knowledge that one day they will be judged by God. Without that knowledge, ma'am, men participate in murders, child abuse, wars, brutal beatings, torture, and the like. And they're generally not fair. But to ascribe the unfairness of men in their dealings toward one another to God is irrational, because you started this whole article or blog post by stating that God doesn't exist. Okay, so that's the irrationality into which our culture has descended, ladies and gentlemen. As this mom was no doubt, this mom no doubt is raising her children without God, as she says, and as a result, her children will be mentally ill. To one degree or another, everyone who does not have a relationship with God is mentally ill to one degree or another. Some people deal with it better than others. It's not absolutely obvious in every circumstance, but I believe in the final reckoning we will be told, and it will be proven to us that all those who decided and determined by the force of their will to live without God ended up mentally ill. Yeah, I think that's what will come out on Judgment Day, which is real, Mom. And you will be called to an account for raising your children without God. All right. And look, we're almost out of time. I can't do the story about it. You know what, folks? I've got some stories I can't do. But I will be guest hosting Bob Enyart Live on AM 670, real radio here in Denver, broadcast radio, at least Monday, maybe Monday and Tuesday, depending on how things go. So you can tune in, and I will cover some of these stories about murder and mayhem and Supreme Court justices and all this other stuff. I will cover on Bob's show. And Bill Gates. Will I get to Bill Gates? Maybe, maybe not. All right, from the Personhood File, a pair of identical twins who were born deaf have been killed by Belgian doctors after seeking euthanasia when they found out that they were also going to go blind. These are two 45-year-old twin brothers. They chose death. And they say they were unable to bear the thought of never seeing one another again. Now, euthanasia is legal under Belgian law if those making the decision can make their wishes clear and are suffering unbearable pain. So the unique thing about this case, the case itself is not that unique. There were over 1,100 cases of euthanasia in Belgium, mostly for cancer, in 2011, the last year for which records are available. This case was unusual, as neither twin was suffering extreme physical pain or was even terminally ill. They heard they were going to go blind, and they said, you know what? Give us the poison. And the doctors gave them the poison. Doesn't that sound like a barbaric society, where people are allowed to decide to kill themselves because they're going blind? Isn't that at least considered disrespectful toward blind people who choose to live? I mean, this is a precedent, ladies and gentlemen. How long will it be when you start euthanizing people because they say being blind is just, it's just not worth carrying on, before the culture starts to look at blind people and start to say, hey, why are we carrying these blind people? You know, these two Belgian brothers, I mean, a generation from now, if mothers like the one I previously quoted in the Why I Raised My Children Without God story, if she is allowed to continue to shape the future of civilization, her children will probably advocate for the killing of blind people. And they'll point to these two Belgian brothers and say, see, they appreciated the fact that to be blind was just too much of a burden on society. These blind people should be suicidal, and if they're not, maybe we should help them. It's worse than a slippery slope, folks. It's grasping at the rim of hell as you're sucked down into it, is what it is. All right, finally, from the Sports File, Tim Tebow is being recruited by the Vatican
I didn't even know they had a team over at the Vatican. Is that a five-man team? Anyway, according to a report from Catholic News, Tebow is being sought for a special conference on returning values to sports. The Vatican is inviting top-tier Christian athletes like Tim Tebow and Jeremy Lin to a conference, an international conference, held by the Pontifical Council for Culture. The conference is titled, We Believe in Sports. You know, as Catholics, I would hope that the Catholic leadership would maybe stand up and say, we believe God cares about sports, or we believe there should be godliness in sports, but instead they say, we believe in sports. That's about the best you're going to get out of the Catholics these days. What a decrepit, old, broken-down institution. Just disgusting. Anything else here? Tebow and Lin have presented strong Christian statements throughout their careers. And New England, now they go through Tim Tebow's dramatic 2011 football season. And they talk about how he led the team to several stunning come-from-behind victories and even led the Broncos to their first playoff game victory since 2005. New England eliminated the Broncos from the playoffs the next week. The Broncos then shipped Tim Tebow off and replaced him with veteran quarterback Peyton Manning, who engineered an 11-game winning streak this season but led the team to playoff elimination in the same round as Tim Tebow the year before. Anyway, maybe Tim Tebow will go to this Vatican conference and perhaps he'll be given enough indulgences to be released from purgatory and he'll be traded to a team that can actually let him play and he'll be released from the Meadowlands purgatory. All right, I've gone just about as far as I can with that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back with you next week. Should the Lord tarry, I want to thank my friends at KGOV, Denver Bible Church, American Right to Life, Personhood USA, and as always, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, I will return to be with you next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.